Amen. How many is ready for that moment? The Bible says, one day we shall see him face to face. Let's go to Psalm chapter 1 this morning in your Bible. Psalm chapter number 1. And a great crowd for the 11 o'clock service. We had a good time. And the 8:30, a good crowd, good spirit there. What a joy it was to see one gentleman walk down the aisle and come to Jesus this morning. Amen. And that was worth the trip to Fort Worth. And so thank you for allowing us to come and be with you here today. Sure appreciate your pastor. I appreciate his friendship to me. He's been encouragement to me. And thankful to fill in for him while he is away. And I tell our church about our pastor, I want to get as many miles out of him as we can. Amen. And so whenever he can get away for a few days to recharge and refresh, that's good for all of us. Amen. So I appreciate him and trust that he'll come back ready to finish out strong and get geared up for 2022. So thank you for your faithfulness today. It's always a joy to look on the calendar and know that for us, Worth Baptist Church is coming up. We always love coming here. You're always so kind to us and gracious to us. We always enjoy ourselves. We enjoy fellowshipping. Of course, we love Brother Earl, and he's made a profound impact on my life, and I cannot tell my testimony without mentioning him. And so if that's the case, you know that someone's made a profound impact on your life. So I love him, Miss Nikki. Good to see Brother Corey, Brother Tony, and all our friends that we've got to see here today. And how many is thankful for the holiday seasons are here? You glad for that? And somebody asked the old man, what's your favorite part about the holidays? He said, the lights. They said, the Christmas lights. He said, no, the tail lights when the relatives leave. And so whatever it is about the holidays you enjoy, they are among us. So it's good to see you here today. Decorations look great. The choir sang well today. Good spirit here. And so just a great, great day at Worth Baptist Church. Well, I want to preach just a very simple Bible message. In fact, maybe the most simple message that I have. And I want to point you back to the basics of the Christian life. And so often our Christian lives begin to struggle. It's often because somewhere we got away from some of the basics of the Christian life, isn't it? And so I'm just going to tell you right now, it's a basic, simple message regarding the Christian life. No one's going to walk away out of here today and say, boy, I've never heard that before. But I hope that many will walk away today saying, boy, I sure needed to hear that again. And so I pray the Lord would bring a reminder to us and help us to recalibrate, hit the reset that button and get back to where we need to be. If you're not careful in the holiday season, you get so caught up in the hustle and bustle and running here and there to class parties and making memories with your families. None of that's bad. That's all good things. But sometimes we can get so busy that we can get away from the main thing, and internally we begin to dry up spiritually, can't we? And so that would not be the case this next month. And so I just want to point you to the Lord today and through his word. I want to invite you to come back tonight at 6 o'clock, and I'm just preaching a revival style messages today. Is that okay? And we'll just have a one-day revival. Amen. And so come back tonight, 6 o'clock, and I'll just give you a heads up. Tonight's a heavy hitter. Amen. And so just be pre-warned. But it's a message, just a simple exposition of a text, fairly familiar text in the New Testament. And folks have given testimony that this past semester, that message has been a real help to them. So I want you to come, be challenged, and even convicted a little bit tonight. And I believe the Lord will give us exactly what we need from his word. Psalm chapter 1 in our text tonight, this morning. The Bible says in verse 1, blessed is the man that. Now stop right there. Whenever I read a phrase in the Bible like that, I always stop and put on the brakes and say, Lord, whatever you're about to say about this man, whatever it is that he does, or whatever it is that he does not do that results in him being blessed, then I want to make sure that I'm doing that. Or I want to make sure that I'm not doing that because I want you to bless my life. How many says I want God to bless my life? He says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Father, thank you for the opportunity to gather in your house this morning. I pray as we open up your Bible, we would open up our hearts to receive it. And Lord, if there's an area of our life that needs to change, I pray that you would put your finger on it today. I pray after our time together, we'd walk away closer to you than we came. Lord, I pray that you would use this to revive our hearts. Lord, it's just a simple message, simple truths, but truths that we need to hear again and again and again and be reminded of. Lord, stamp these truths on our heart deeply. Lord, I pray, I thank you for the man in the first service who came to Jesus and got saved. Lord, if there's a man or a woman, a teenager, who has come to church this morning, but has not yet come to Christ, I pray that today would be the day of their salvation. Lord, I pray that you would use this message, revive a relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen. The story is told about the father of a vacationing family who came across a large sign that read, "Road closed, do not enter." The man proceeded around the sign because he was confident it would save them time. His wife was resistant to the adventure, but there was no turning back for this persistent road warrior. After a few miles, the successful navigator began to boast about his gift of discernment. But his proud smile was quickly replaced with a humble sweat when the road led to a washed-out bridge. He turned the car around and retraced his tracks to the main road. When he arrived at the original warning sign, he was greeted by large letters on the back of that sign which said, "Welcome back, stupid." And how many has lived long enough to know that life generally works better when you follow the instructions? Have you found that to be true? Can I say this morning, that's not just generally true about life. That is absolutely true when it comes to the Christian life. And when you and I come to Psalm chapter 1 this morning, here's the overall takeaway that we take from the text. When it comes to living life, the Bible way is the best way. I said, when it comes to living life, the Bible way is the best way. Notice the very first word of the book of Psalms. It's the word blessed. In the Hebrew, that word blessed literally means, oh, how happy. And it's almost like God is holding up a giant sign this morning that says, hey, Christian, hey, mama, hey, daddy, hey, teenager, hey, you want to have joy? You want to be truly biblically happy? You want to live a life of purpose that's going to matter for all of eternity? Then walk this way. Do exactly what I'm about to tell you to do in Psalm chapter 1. Can I say this morning, God wants to bless your life. How many believes that? God's not mad every Sunday. Amen. Listen, he loves you. He cares about you. He wants to open the windows of heaven and bless your life. But when you come to Psalm chapter 1 this morning, we find that there's some conditions that our lives have to meet in order to receive the blessing and the joy that God intends us to have and experience. In other words, God wants to bless our lives, but our lives have to be blessable. Billy Sunday said it this way, the old evangelist, if there's no joy in your Christianity, there is a leak somewhere. And for some of us, it's the things we've allowed to leak into our lives. Others of us, it's the things we've allowed to leak out of our lives. And I pray the Holy Spirit would place his finger on the leaks this morning. This morning, I want to challenge you with this simple Bible message and this thought. How to be a Psalm 1 Christian. How to be a Psalm 1 Christian. You say, preacher, how can I live a life that God can bless? How can I live a life that can experience true biblical happiness? I'm not talking about some cheap substitute for happiness. We know there's plenty of those out there in the world. I'm talking about true happiness and joy that comes from a right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. How can I have that, preacher? Notice what the Bible says. First of all, if you're going to be a Psalm 1 Christian this morning, then according to verse number 1, first of all, you must avoid sin. Number 1, you must avoid sin. Notice he starts off with what we could call the negative in verse number 1. He says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel or the advice or the philosophy of the ungodly. The ungodly are those who are without God, those who disregard God. To make it as simple as I can this morning, here's what he's saying. God's saying there's lots of voices out there in that world, and you and I better be very careful about the voices that we listen to, because if you and I listen to the wrong voices, we're going to get our life off track. In other words, God says, first of all, in a way to avoid sin, we need to, first of all, avoid sinful counsel. Be careful when it comes to the voices that you allow to influence your life. I love the way Proverbs puts it in Proverbs chapter 4. Solomon's writing to his son, Rehoboam, and he says, my son, keep thy heart with all diligence. My son, keep thy heart with all diligence. That word keep there means to protect, to keep it guarded, to keep it covered. And the word picture there is in the Old Testament, they would have wells of water. And it was necessary to keep the wells covered and guarded and protected, lest an enemy come along and put maybe a dead animal into the well, and it ends up polluting the drinking water. And so with that imagery and that picture in mind, he says, my son, guard your heart. My son, keep your heart. My son, keep your heart covered, lest the devil come along and place sin into your heart that'll end up polluting your life. You say, how do the wrong things end up in our hearts? Oftentimes they come in through our eyes and they come in through our ears. I want to challenge you this morning. Be careful who and what you allow to influence your life. Be careful what you watch. Be careful what you see. Be careful about who you listen to and what you listen to. A someone Christian does not allow the world or the culture to dictate the way that he's going to live his life. He does not allow a world to influence him. He allows the Word of God to influence him. Number one, God says, you want me to bless your life? Then get the wrong influences out of your life. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Not only must we avoid sinful counsel, but number two, we must avoid sinful companions. Sinful companions. Notice the second phrase of verse 1. He goes on to say, nor standeth in the way of sinners. If there's one word that describes the Bible that's my favorite, it would be the word relevant. Well, it's a buzzword today, isn't it? Everybody's asking, is this relevant? Is that relevant? Can I say there's no other book in the world that has any more relevance to your life than the Word of God? And it still has a lot to say about the friendships and relationships that we have in 2021. The Bible still says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Proverbs chapter 1 says, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. You show me your friends and I'll show you your future, because your friends will determine your future. You want to know who you're going to end up like? Look at the people you spend time with. In fact, you can take a picture of your friends, print it out, look at it, and you can look at a picture of your future. A.W. Tozer said it. I believe it was in a positive context, but it can be applied in a negative context. He said, nearness is likeness. And the fact of the matter is, some of you are struggling in your Christian life because you have friends and people around you who are wrongly influencing you. And instead of bringing you closer to God, they're pulling you away from God. Instead of helping you, they are hurting you. But there's always one in the crowd who says, wait a second, preacher. Wait a second. I've read the New Testament. And the Bible says that Jesus ate with the publicans and sinners. Yes, he did. But listen to me. They weren't influencing him. He was influencing them. And when you and I get to a place in our relationships with other people where they're bringing us down instead of us bringing them up, well, that's when we need to back off and maybe avoid that and separate those kind of relationships. God says, you want me to bless your life this year and throughout 2022? Then you need to unfriend some people out of your life. You say, hey, preacher, you got to be a jerk about that. You're going to be unkind. You're going to be mean. Not at all. You just fall in love with Jesus Christ and get on fire for God and say, I'm going to live for him. And I promise you, those around you that don't want to live that way, they'll begin to separate themselves from you. God says, you want me to bless your life? You want to be a Psalm 1 Christian? Then we've got to get the wrong influences out of our life, and we got to get the wrong individuals out of our lives as well. Notice the last phrase he says here. We must also, lastly, avoid sinful criticism. Avoid sinful criticism. Notice the last phrase of verse number 1. He says, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You say, what is a scorner? Well, usually every church has one. A scorner. I don't like this. I don't like that. And boy, they criticize and they tear down. And here in the context of verse number 1, it's someone who criticizes and scoffs at and mocks at and makes fun of the things and the people and the work of God. And the Bible says in verse number 1, he's sitting in the seat of the scornful. You say, what does that indicate? Indicates that he's comfortable there. He's got to the place where he's comfortable joining in and now joining others and making fun of and mocking and scoffing and criticizing the people and the things and the work of God. Do you realize, according to verse number 1, there is not a progression, there is a digression. He goes from walking to talking to mocking. You say, how does that happen? Real simple. You go from listening to the wrong crowd to lingering with the wrong crowd. And if you linger long enough with the wrong crowd, eventually you become like the wrong crowd. Well, sin is a slippery slope, isn't it? And boy, it happens faster than we think. And for some of you here this morning, unfortunately, because you begin to listen to the wrong crowd and you've allowed the wrong people into your life, and now they're beginning to take a toll and the effects are coming out on you. Listen to me. Your life has been a downward spiral over the past several weeks and months and years spiritually. God says, you want me to bless your life? The first step is to simply avoid sin. I'm not talking about sinless perfection this morning. You know that's not going to happen. I'm talking about a man, a woman, a teenager who gets up every day and says, God, with your help, I'm going to intentionally seek to avoid sin and live a life that is pleasing to you. Come on now. Number one, if God's going to bless your life, if you're going to be a someone Christian, then first of all, we've got to avoid sin, according to verse number one. You say, preacher, you're pretty young, we can tell. And I don't know if you looked around this morning, but this is the Sunday morning crowd. And of all places, especially on a holiday week, of all the places we can be at, on a Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, we crawled out of bed to come here to be in church. Preacher, do you know who you're talking to? I mean, preacher, come on now. I mean, we try to go to the right places. We listen to the right kind of music. I mean, we run with the right crowd. We watch wholesome things on the television. I mean, come on, preacher. We got part number one down. Oh, listen to me. I know a whole lot of folks who got part number one down, but they don't have part number two down. And if all you do is have part number one down, but you don't have part number two down, it's only a matter of time before you spiritually dry rot from the inside out. We've got to avoid sin. Listen to me, I'm not talking about getting saved and then living in an underground bunker waiting for Jesus to come. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about separation, not isolation. If you say, what's the difference? Warren Wiersbe says, separation is not isolation. It's contact without contamination. In other words, there's something wrong with the boat being in the water. The problem comes when the water gets in the boat. You and I live in this world. We can't help that. But boy, the problems come when the world begins to seep into us. Number one, God says, you want me to bless your life? First of all, you've got to avoid sin. But notice number two, secondly, we must absorb Scripture. We must absorb Scripture. Notice verse number two, the Bible says, but his delight. That word but there is a contrasting word. It means a Psalm 1 Christian does not delight in the things that are found in verse number one. He delights in the things that are found in verse number two. You say, what's found in verse number two? The wonderful word of God. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Let me ask you a question this morning. What do you delight in? What do you enjoy? That's not a trick question. That's not a setup. What do you enjoy? How many says, enjoy sports? Would you raise your hand? Bad week for the Cowboys. We enjoy sports. Amen. Next year's the year. Okay. How many enjoy shopping? Would you raise your hand? Any ladies like that? Stay away from my wife. Thank you very much. How many? Just kidding. How many enjoys eating? Would you raise your hand? Amen. I can tell. Just kidding. My wife is addicted to chocolate. In fact, several years ago, we were traveling through Hershey, Pennsylvania. You know what's in Hershey, Pennsylvania? The Hershey Chocolate Factory. And we started seeing signs and billboards advertising on the interstate as we were driving through. And she just believed it was the divine will of God for her life to go and visit. And she just had a peace about it. And she said, won't you take me? I said, fine, I'll take you. And folks, we pulled into the Hershey Factory parking lot there. She got so excited, she started licking the window. No, just kidding. She was excited to be there. You say, preacher, what do you enjoy? I enjoy hunting and fishing. Amen. Listen, if it flies, it dies. If it's brown, it's down. Amen. I don't care if it's got feather, fur, fins. I like it all. If you walked into our house, it looks like you're walking into a taxidermy shop. I mean, there's whitetails and rams and turkey and dogs. And hog. I mean, listen, we love that kind of stuff. Well, thank you all too. Let's try that again. We love that kind of stuff. Thank you very much. What do you enjoy this morning? Listen to me. God has given us those things to enjoy, and we ought to enjoy, and we ought to give ourselves to enjoying those things. But listen to me this morning, please. Just as much as you delight in those things, you ought also to delight in the Word of God. And I'm asking you this morning on a Sunday morning at Worth Baptist Church, do you love the Word of God? Robert Sumner was a preacher. He's dead now, but he wrote a book called The Wonderful Works of God. And in that book, he wrote about a young man who lived in Kansas City who was involved in a horrible explosion. He lost the majority of burned severely all over his body. He lost his fingers and hands. He lost his eyesight. As someone came to him one day and said, sir, what's the worst part of this entire experience? He was a new Christian. This is what he said. He said, the worst part is that I'm no longer able to read the Word of God. Not long after that, he learned about a lady who lived in England who could read Braille, what blind people read, with her lips. He thought, I can do that too. He sent off for a Bible in Braille and eventually got to him, and they unwrapped it for him. His heart was racing. They brought that Braille Bible up to his face, but unfortunately, the nerve endings had been burned off and he could not feel the pages. As they took the Bible away from his face that day, his tongue slid across some of the raised characters on the page, and he felt it, and he thought to himself, I can read the Bible with my tongue. By the time that Robert Sumner's book came out, that man had read the Bible 4 times with his tongue. I'm asking you this morning, do you really love the Word of God? Got a pastor friend in Tucson, Arizona, Brent Armstrong. They go on missions trips, it seems like a couple of times a year, every year. A number of years ago, he was in China preaching in some of the underground churches there. It was a Sunday morning. They met in a barn-type structure. A handful of ladies had come to the service that morning. And Pastor Armstrong was going to preach about the Bible. And before he began, he said, can anybody stand up and quote a passage of Scripture they had committed to memory? Well, one lady stood up, and she was a little bit different. She kind of dressed funny, didn't have very many teeth in her head. But she stood up, and she began to quote Matthew chapter 1. This book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of Abraham, the son of David. And on down she went and quoted the entire first chapter of Matthew. The lady tugged on her and said, sit down. Afterwards, pastor went on to preach. And after the service, he went to the lady who told the other lady to sit down. And said, ma'am, why did you have her sit down? She looked up at him and said, preacher, if I had not stopped her from quoting Matthew chapter 1, she would have went on to quote the entire book of Matthew. Later on found out that was the only book she had translated in her language. I'm asking you this morning, do you really love the Word of God? Well, there was a time in your life, some of you did. You couldn't wait to get up in the morning to get in your favorite place and get a cup of coffee. It was just you and God all alone, and you would spend time in His Word. There was a time you used to memorize it. There was a time you used to devour it. There was a time when you couldn't wait to come to a church service like this, and it didn't matter if Daffy Duck was preaching. You were in love with the Word of God. Some of you don't love it like you used to. Some of you don't crave it like you used to. Some of you don't have a hunger for it like you used to. 1 Peter chapter 2 says, as a newborn babe, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. That took on a whole new meaning after my wife had our only child. If you've ever had a baby, you know that you don't have to set some timer to go off to let you know when it's time to feed that baby. That baby's going to let you know when it's time to feed that baby. Man, they start crying their heads off, and so you get that bottle and finally put it up. And listen, if it's a hungry baby, it don't take long to empty out that bottle. But if the time came, the general time for that baby to eat, and it wasn't hungry, and that went on for some time, eventually you would realize something's wrong with that baby. Why? Because a healthy baby is a hungry baby. And a healthy Christian is a hungry Christian. And if you and I do not have a hunger and a craving and a desire for the Word of God, friend, there's something wrong with us. You say, what's the problem? Sin. In fact, verse number 1 of that passage, that's 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, verse 1, the one right above that says, first of all, laying aside all anger and malice and envy. What's God saying? We've got to get the sin out of our hearts and lives, and then we begin to crave and hunger after the Word of God. Well, it's almost like there's a pattern throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, isn't there? Get the sin out and put the Scripture in. Keep the sin out and keep the Scripture in. J.C. Ryle said, the more I read the Bible, the more I desire to read the Bible. But the less I read the Bible, the less I desire to read the Bible. D.L. Moody said, this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. Charles Spurgeon said, a Bible that's falling apart usually belongs to a life that isn't. Howard Hendricks, the old Bible teacher over in Dallas, said it this way. He said, dusty Bibles lead to dirty lives. I'm asking you this morning, how's your relationship with God's Word? Now, I didn't come to beat you up. I didn't know one's here to shame you or guilt you. We all go through dry seasons in our life, don't we? Amen. Listen, there's days I wake up and the last thing I want to do is read the Bible. Amen. Okay, me and that guy in the back are the only ones. Let me try that again. Make us feel better. There's days we wake up and the last thing we want to do is read the Bible. Amen. You say, preacher, what do you do on those days? I say, Lord, I know I need to read your Bible, your book. But Lord, I just don't feel like it. God, would you give me the want to? How many knows God can give you the want to do the things we ought to do? Lord, give me the hunger back. Lord, show me why I don't have a hunger. Give me the desire for it. Can I say this? I went to school out in California. Don't throw me out. I went to school in California, and I had a roommate say, hey, won't you come to lunch with me? I said, where are we going? He says, we're going for sushi. I said, I don't think so. That's where I come from. We call that bait. But listen to me. He took me out. I didn't know how to order. He ordered for me. And I tried sushi that day, and listen to me. I've never been the same. Just kidding. No, it changed my life. Can I tell you something today? I can eat my body weight in sushi. Amen. Listen, I love it. Every week. Listen, I love it. Listen to me. I had to develop an appetite for it. And the only way to fall in love with the Word of God is develop an appetite for it. You say, how do you develop an appetite for the Word of God? There's only one way. We've got to sit our tail down in a chair, open up the book, and say, God, speak to me. You may start off and say, I don't understand half of what I'm reading. Come on now. There's some books I still feel that way. Good night. God, I don't understand half of what I'm reading, but I believe that you can open my eyes and give me understanding. So by faith, I'm going to sit down because I believe that you love me and you have some things you want to say to me. God, I want to get to know you. God, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Friend, I'm here to tell you this is God's love letter to you. He loves you. He wants you to know him. And we know God by spending time in his word. Do you love the Bible? Boy, today we need a Bible revival. Amen. We need to fall in love with the book. It doesn't end there. Notice the second half of verse number 2. He says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. In other words, the word of God is in his heart. But the second half of the verse says God's word is on his mind. The first half of the verse tells us that God's word has his affection. The second half of the verse tells us that God's word has his attention. It goes on to say, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. In other words, it's not enough to just read the Bible. Now listen to me, if you've not been reading the Bible, then I've come to put my arm around you as your friend and say, hey, let's get back on it. You may have been through a dry spell. Maybe you got a little bit backslidden. Listen, that's okay. Let's come back. Let's get in it. Come on now. Let's get back into it. But some of us, let's be honest this morning, we read the Bible every day, but come lunchtime, we can't remember one thing that we read. Amen. Now listen, we all do that from time to time, but if you do that day in and day out, let's be honest, that's not helping anybody. God says you need to take the next step in your Christian life, and the next step for you is not just reading the Bible, but meditating on the Bible. You say, that sounds kind of weird. What is that? Meditation, one little boy put it this way, that's when your mouth shuts, but your head keeps on talking. Anybody ever had a bad day at school? That was the homeschooler. No, just kidding. You had a bad day at school, maybe got beat up or whatever, and so mom and dad pick you up at the end of the day, and all the way home, you're staring at the window, and finally, mom and dad look across the car, and they say, what are you thinking about? You say, how'd they know I was thinking about something? You had the look on your face. At that moment, you are mulling over and thinking about the bad situation that took place at school earlier that day. Yeah. Now, that's meditation. That's a bad form of meditation, but that is meditation. Y'all got cows around here? Good night. This is Fort Worth, Texas. In the morning, those cows will wake up and they'll get their stomachs, plural, filled with grass. In the afternoon, the sun will come up. They'll find a shade tree. And excuse the vulgarity, you're about to have lunch here in a few moments. They'll begin to regurgitate that grass into their mouth. And they start chewing that regurgitated grass. We call that chewing the cut. And they chew it over and over again. And they break it down so they can digest it and it becomes a part of their body. Listen, that is a beautiful, well, not beautiful, that is a great picture of meditation. God says, I don't want you to just read the book or read the passage. I want you to take that chapter, that verse, that truth. I want you to regurgitate it into your mind. And I want you to think about it over and over and over again until that truth becomes a part of your life. Can you see how at that point this book begins to change your life? Can you see how that's missing in many of our lives? I'm asking you, when's the last time you changed something in your life because the Bible told you to? I didn't ask if you posted a verse on Facebook 2 weeks ago. I said, how's your relationship with the book? Well, I want to encourage you. Avoid sin and absorb Scripture. Can I tell you why some of you mamas in here have no joy? Can I tell you why some of you daddies in here just seem like life is without purpose and just aimless? Can I tell you why some of you young people are just struggling spiritually this morning? It's because you have the whole thing backwards. And instead of avoiding sin and absorbing Scripture, many of us this morning are avoiding Scripture and absorbing sin. It doesn't work that way. God says, you want me to bless your life? Then you've got to follow the instructions. Number one, we avoid sin. Number two, we absorb Scripture. And when you do those two things, notice what happens in verse number three. The Bible says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Would you get that mental image in your mind, please? He will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. This tree is not a dead tree. It's not a decaying tree. It's not a dying tree. This is a strong, healthy, fruitful, thriving tree because it's planted next to the rivers of water. The tree there ought to be a picture of your life. By the way, this is not a tumbleweed. It's a tree. Amen. And it's planted. Speaks of stability. Well, we need some stability in our life, don't we? Too many of us, hot and cold, up and down, in and out. Come on now. We need some stability in our lives. He should be like a tree planted next to the river of water. The tree ought to be a picture of your life. The river is a picture of the Word of God. And the reason that tree is growing and thriving is because it puts its roots into the water of that river. And it's drawing the life and the nutrients and strength from the water. Listen, the most important part of your life is the part that nobody sees, but only God sees. And every day of your life, you want to put your roots into the water of God's Word. Amen. This book ought to be precious to us. Yeah. We ought to treasure this book. Amen. There ought to be some tear stains on the pages. Yeah. There ought to be some handprints on the cover. Every couple of years, you should have to send off for a new one because you wore out the one you got. Everybody okay this morning? I'm saying we need a Bible revival. I'm not preaching to you. I'm preaching to us this morning. Stability. Notice what it goes on to say in verse number 3. That bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Listen, you show me a Psalm 1 Christian, someone who's not just sinless perfection, but seeking to avoid sin, keeping sin out of their life. Toxic influences, toxic people, I'm keeping it out of my life. And someone who spends time in God's Word every day, I'm going to show you someone who's going to eventually start producing some spiritual fruit. You say, what kind of fruit? Well, I think, first of all, the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, goodness, long-suffering, faith, gentleness. Come on now. Don't you like to be around people like that? Some of you just came from Thanksgiving. You had some relatives that were not like that. Amen. Nobody wants to be around a grouch. Amen. No one wants to spend time with a grump all the time. Come on now. Yeah. Well, I want to be around someone that has joy, love, patience. And God can produce that in us if we spend time with Him. But as He goes on to say this as well, His leaf also shall not wither. Charles Spurgeon said the Psalm 1 Christian is one that's like an evergreen tree year-round. In other words, when the hot winds roll off the desert and the heat gets turned up on us in life, his leaf will not wither. When the chilly winds of adversity blow into our lives, his leaf shall not wither. What are you saying? I'm saying there's some perseverance. I don't know what 2021 has held for you. It may have been a good year this year. But you and I don't know what 2022 is going to hold. And we better make sure that our lives are anchored into the Word of God. Come on now. Because the winds may start blowing and the heat may get turned up. I want to be anchored in Jesus Christ and His Word. Notice lastly, the Bible says, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Boy, I like that promise. Well, how many says I want that for my marriage? How many says I want that for my family? How many says I want that for my business? How many says I want that for my life? God says you can have it if you live a life that's blessable. Let me say this Psalm chapter 1, verse number 3, that verse is not an overnight verse. Now, I believe if you get sin out of your life and you get into the Word of God today, I believe there would be some immediate effects. But verse number 3 talks about a man or a woman who lives the Psalm 1 life day in and day out, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, every day of the week. Week after week, month after month, year after year, and one day you're going to wake up and look around your life and listen to me. Your life is going to be a picture of Psalm chapter 1, verse number 3. How many says, I want that for my life? It was our first year in evangelism. We got invited to preach a back-to-school retreat in San Antonio, Texas in the month of August. If you didn't hear anything else I just said, I said Texas and August. Triple digit. You know what I'm talking about. We slept in tents. It was the worst week of my life. We slept in tents that week. It was at the Colorado Bend State Park, north of San Antonio. And the first activity of the week was a 3-mile hike. What a blessing. It was a mile and a half in and a mile and a half out. And the whole incentive was a mile and a half in. There was going to be a river and waterfall. We could jump into all that. But when we started on that, it was a death march was what it was. When we started, everything around us, you know how it is here in August, everything was dead. There was no grass on the ground. There were no leaves on the trees. Everything was dried and dead. In fact, the trees were so dead and brittle and dry, your arm would brush up against one of the branches or limbs, and it would break off and fall to the ground. So we started that hike, and the closer we got to that river, things started changing. All of a sudden, I looked down, and I saw there was grass growing on the ground. I looked up and realized there were green leaves all over the trees. And finally, we got down there to the river. And sure enough, it was shaded. It was cool. Everything was green. There was grass on the ground, leaves on the trees, moss on the rocks. Listen to me. Here's what I'm saying. There was a night and day difference between the trees that were planted next to the river of water and that were not planted next to the river of water. And I'm saying this morning, there's a night and day difference between a Christian that spends time in the Word of God and that does not spend time in the Word of God. So I'm asking you today, the Bible says it's a mirror. So when you look into the mirror of God's Word this morning, be honest with yourself. Is your life a reflection of Psalm chapter 1? And if not, what needs to change? Father, thank you today that you love us, that you care about us. You desire to bless us and experience not just life, but the abundant life, a life of joy and peace and blessing. You desire that for us. But Lord, there's some conditions that our lives have to meet. If we're not living verse 1 and we're not living verse 2, then Lord, we can't experience verse number 3. If you hear this morning and say, preacher, would you pray for me? I'm afraid I've allowed some, maybe the wrong influences or maybe some wrong people, I've allowed them to leak and enter into my life. And as a result, those things, those individuals, those influences, whatever sin it may be, it is hurting my relationship with the Lord. Today, God showed me that. And with God's help, I need to remove them. If that's you this morning, could you raise your hand and say, preacher, that's me. That's me. That's me. Yes, yes, yes. How many says, preacher, would you pray for me? I want to live a life that avoids sin. If that's you, would you raise your hand? I want to keep avoiding it. How many today would say, preacher, there was a time in my life when I was in love with the Word of God. I was in it. It was in me. I craved it. I had a hunger for it. I was growing spiritually. I was walking close to the Lord. But somewhere along the line, it seems like my spiritual life has dried up. I'm no longer in the Word of God. I need a Bible revival. This morning, I need to fall in love with the Bible once again. If that's you, would you raise your hand this morning? I'm going to pray for you. Yes, yes, yes. That's what today is all about. Can I say the greatest thing the Bible tells us? Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy, and he says, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, which is through faith in Christ Jesus. And he says, Timothy, you know the Bible teaches there's only one way to heaven, and that's by putting your faith in Jesus Christ. I'm here to tell you that God loves you, friend, that Jesus Christ died on the cross and shed his blood to pay for every sin you've ever committed. He was buried for you and he rose again for you. And this morning, if you would come to Him, admit that you're a sinner, believe that He died for you on the cross, and you call on Him and ask Him into your heart and life, He would forgive you of your sin, give you eternal life, and take you to heaven when you die. You say, "Preacher, I don't believe anybody's ever shown me that before from the Word of God. I've never made that decision. I know that I don't want to go to hell, but I'm not sure that I'm going to heaven. I know I don't want to go to hell, but I'm not sure that I'm going to heaven. Preacher, would you pray for me this morning? I'm concerned about that." If that's you, would you lift up your hand high enough that I can see it? Put it right back down. Anyone like that at all? I see that hand in the back. Anybody else? Preacher, pray for me. Preacher, pray for me. Anyone like that at all? Preacher? Yes. Anyone else? Anyone else? Here's what we're going to do in the first service. We're going to have just like we did in the first service. I'm going to pray. I'm going to say amen. And we're going to stand to our feet and the music will begin to play. And just as in that first service, a gentleman over here on my left side, as soon as he heard the music playing and we stood up, he stepped out of his seat. He walked right down to the aisle. A man with a Bible met him and sat down in the front row and showed him from the Word of God how he could begin a relationship with God. I want you to know we're going to have men and women standing here at the front with Bibles. They are trained counselors in the Word of God. And they will take you and sit down with you, answer your questions, and show you how you can receive Jesus Christ into your heart today. It's the greatest decision that you can make, and only you can make that decision. But we're going to give you that opportunity to make it if you need to. Father, bless this time of invitation. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.